This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Today, I'm super excited because I get to hang out with my brother up in Canada, Canada's number one optometrist, Dr. Harbir Sayan. Dr. Sayan, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. Always doing great. Anytime I get to spend time with you, bro.
Oh, man, right back at you, man. We got a little bit of a romance going on here today.
Like, we do. We'll save that for later. We need to get on with business here, I think.
I know, man. We got some exciting guests today. I mean, I'm super excited to hang out with Nathan Troxell and Dean Brown. We're going to talk about some exciting things today. You know, we love to partner with the Vision Council, and they have an amazing event coming up in Chicago. It's the Regional Connection Series, and I'm super excited to learn more about it. How about you, Dr. Sayan?
I'm excited, man. I'm going to be attending, so I'm super pumped for this whole thing, but I want to get a little bit of a sneak peek preview here before I get out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dean, Nathan, if you don't mind introducing yourselves, maybe tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, what you do. Let's get into it. Let the world know who we have on this amazing show this evening.
Thanks, you bet. Yeah, definitely. So I'm Dean Brown, the Chief Behavioral Officer at Feedback. We've worked with the Vision Council for over a decade now, and I'm one of the guest speakers that'll be there in Chicago. And we do a bit of social listening and applying ethnography online, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment.
And I'm Nathan Troxell. I'm the Vision Council's Director of Business Development and Special Projects. Special projects just means all the other stuff that nobody else really wants to take responsibility for that somehow ends up on my plate. No, I'm kidding. But I've been with the Vision Council for coming up on two and a half years almost in a couple different roles. I was brought in and quickly shifted into a role looking at our market research and did a major project to sort of reimagine and re-envision that program. And you'll hear more about that here today and then coming up in Chicago. Previous to that, I was in the industry with PPG selling lens materials and coatings. So I spent about 15 years in that space, got to know a lot of folks across the industry and was integrated into the Vision Council through committees and through some other volunteer opportunities. And then I got the lucky chance to actually join the organization as an employee. So it's been a good run for the last 2 years, even though COVID has thrown a couple curveballs, it's been a good time. I'm based in Pittsburgh, so I don't live in the home office of Alexandria and outside of DC, but we get together as a group as frequently as we can, and it's been a great ride here for the last 2 years or so.
Hey, Nathan, one thing I can co-sign with you is the special projects. I handle the special projects at my doctor, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what that means.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah. You love it when they say, hey, we're really excited about this opportunity for you. You know, we're going to move you into a role. We didn't have, the Vision Council needed a business development role, so I was excited for it. And then they're like, oh, by the way, special projects too. So. But it's exciting. It's great. The organization is just going through some great changes as we're sort of adapting to everything that we've all had to adapt to. Obviously, we know what happened with COVID and the loss of some trade shows. So we're excited to do some things differently. And this Regional Connection Series event is going to be one of those things.
Yeah, man. Getting back in person this year especially has been one of the most amazing feelings, like in New York, reconnecting with everyone. And any opportunity now for me to get in person, you know, especially in a city like Chicago, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet people. As Daryl says, shake hands and kiss babies. I'm all over that. I'll be there any day I can. But first, before we get into it, Nathan, I just want to say I'm sorry about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Ooh. You know, I actually kind of like the Penguins. It's unfortunate to see Sydney out that early in the playoffs, but you know.
Hey, you know, you can't win Stanley Cups every year, right? But at least you can be in the hunt, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other podcast.
Look, I'm not even going to try to pretend, man. The Canucks didn't make the playoffs. They haven't for a while. So I'm not even going to try to act like I know what you're talking about. But why don't we talk about Chicago? Again, I'm super excited to go, but we want everyone else to know, everyone who's tuning in, who's listening, watching, we want them to know what's going on in Chicago. Why Chicago and what's happening out there, Nate?
Yeah, so the Vision Council, we're going on the road. We are headed off to Chicago next month on Wednesday, June 15th at the Drake Hotel for our first Regional Connection Series event. So really, we're looking to, throughout the year, head to a couple different cities to sort of bring together members of the industry, our friends, our members, our partners, really bring them together for engaging content for outstanding speakers, bringing back some of that networking that we used to do in person, trying to bring that back and maybe a little bit of a smaller, more intimate scale so that we can connect and bring the industry together like the Vision Council has done for so long. So Chicago is going to be our first event and we're really looking forward to it.
Hey, Arbir, I don't know about you, man, but this sounds like stuff that rock stars do, man. Now we have iCare rock stars in the building with us. Can I get your autographs, gentlemen?
Okay.
I'm trying to live a life like you. Go city to city, tour, and hang out with the best, the experts in the iCare industry. It doesn't get any better than that. And as Arbir mentioned earlier, Chicago as the first stop. Man, I don't know who came up with that, but they're a genius.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like you're going on a road tour here, right? I want to see, do you guys have like a big bus that's got Vision Council like label on the side? And
no, see, we go on the all black bus so nobody knows we're coming.
Well, I need to know.
Pulling the big trailer behind us of who knows what's inside.
That's just my pyro.
Good time.
Yeah, just the that's pyro awesome. For my speech is in the trailer in the back.
I don't know, though. You talk about, you know, us being the rock stars, but, you know, Daryl, I would be remiss if I didn't say congratulations on the Presidential Medal.
Oh, man.
I mean, that is that is an incredible accomplishment. You and Dr. Ramsey got to be honored in that way. Just that's awesome. And to do it with friends and family, like there in person, that's incredible, man. So,
man, it was a beautiful occasion. It's, you know, a great award. But, you know, I got to give credit to my entire team, you know, Dr. Essence Johnson, Dr. Jacoby Cleaver, all the students and the pre-optometry students, and all the industry partners. You know, everyone has come together to make this happen. And without the industry, we would have not made this happen. So I want to thank everyone, because that award wasn't just for us. That was for the entire industry. We're going to move this industry forward. And the only way we can do it is together. So again, thank you so much, Nathan. I'm super excited about that award, but there's still a lot of work to do. But, you know, we got some work to do this evening. Dean, you got to tell us a little bit more about what you're going to be presenting. What the attendees can take away from this amazing event in Chicago, man. We got to do a little digging. So let's jump into it, baby.
You bet. So this is actually going to be a really fascinating talk, because it's a combination of two different research projects that we did. One's quantitative, some work by Morning Consult, and then one is a qualitative study, which my firm Feedback did, which is around social listening. But it's specifically around different healthcare behaviors, decision making, vision industry. And it's what we're really looking to explore is all those behavioral indicators before someone makes that decision. And so, you know, as opposed to like looking at sales data, which is, you know, that's, great, but it's a lagging indicator, right? So what we want to look is, what is all that behavior and the decision-making ahead of time? And we did a really fascinating study. This is around December and January. So we've got some cool data. This would be the first time it's been presented in public. And the big themes in it are things like around trust and choice. And we'll also even look at some like services too, to even compare to other industries. But I think it's going to be really, really cool.
So tell us a little bit about what is exactly social listening. I know we were talking a little bit off air. Definitely my interest has been piqued. But if we could introduce the audience to exactly what is social listening, and what does it mean for the rest of us, you know, to have this kind of data?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way we approach it is we use folks with anthropological backgrounds, like behavioral science, and apply it to how people talk online. What I mean by that is think like Jane Goodall and the gorillas, but like we don't touch the monkeys, right? It's the idea is we just want to observe how do people talk. So for example, if there's a young mom in a mom's group talking about getting glasses for their kid for the very first time, you know, that we can look at the hundreds, if not thousands and tens of thousands of posts around parents choosing frames or even, you know, their comfort level with taking their kids to the eye doctor for the first time, and be able to glean all of that and analyze it up into some real core insights. So it's, you know, the stuff that's online every day, but it's not just the surface channels. So it's not just stuff on Facebook and Instagram. We want to get that too, but it's even things like on condition specific message boards. you know, where people, whether condition specific or demographic specific. So we're going really deep, and that's the key of having that behavioral science area on it. But it's taking seriously all this activity, because it could tell us a lot about how people are making their decisions. You know, even things like, you know, private versus retail, and just that, all of those opinions and how things have changed with COVID. I think it's real important to get to that now, right? And kind of reset our behavioral levels.
Yeah, I love this, man. And, you know, when I hear this, I think it's you're judging the mood. I mean, when I was reading online, you can look at the mood, get the pulse of what people are thinking. Absolutely. And you're not just monitoring and collecting data, but you're taking that data, that information, and that's helping you to guide your business or your organization in the right direction. We were having a conversation prior. We were saying, like, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of this type of research or marketing or planning or whatever you want to call it. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if you don't know about social listening, your business may be going under every single day. You don't realize it. You may think you're great. You're number one in your area. In reality, you may not be hot stuff. So this is a real conversation, a real issue, a real topic that all my eye care professionals, all my healthcare professionals really need to pay attention to. We are in a new world, a new era. Yeah. We have to understand how our consumers think, how our patients think, and social listening can really help elevate and take it to the next level for your practice.
But you know, Daryl, you said something important there. You talked about healthcare.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, we sometimes get so focused, right? So much we get the blinders on. We could use myopia. Let's use all the little terms we can. But ultimately, it's a healthcare situation, right? It's a healthcare related environment that these patients and consumers are finding themselves in. Yes, vision care is one of those things. Right. But what does it mean when we think about their primary care physician? What do we think about in terms of their dental habits, even their mental health, and some of those other key healthcare providers that are supporting them? And it's a conversation that we sometimes sort of make our own little sandbox and play in the vision care space, but we have to remember that the consumer doesn't think that way. They're thinking about a holistic experience. And the more that we can consider that and learn from how other practitioners, other physicians, other areas, other providers are helping and supporting those consumers and patients, then it makes us just that much stronger. There's that consolidation of care is happening across the industry. Players are starting to do more than just one thing. It's not just a one-trick pony, come to us for your vision care needs. It's now come to us for all of your health care needs. And I think we have to be thinking about it. Even you know, an eye care provider, eye care professional who's focused on their practice needs to be thinking as broadly as they always do about the total health of that patient. But this is an even more important time to do it and to listen and to pay attention about how patients and consumers are looking at all of these healthcare dynamics.
And Nathan, you know, something that really blows my mind is that, you know, we don't have to do this by ourselves. A lot of people think they have to go out and do this by themselves. They can actually partner with the Vision Council. You guys have all the data. You do the research. You're here for eye care professionals to elevate their practice and make it easier so that they can stay ahead of the curve and be the leaders in healthcare as well. So we have to take full advantage of that partnership that we can that we have in our back pocket to be able to elevate healthcare.
Well, that's exactly what we wanted to do when we reached out to Dean last year and said, hey, this we need to listen. We need to engage. We need to think broadly. Right. We need to go beyond our sort of four walls of optical and vision care. And the study that we did in December and January was really fascinating. We were excited to present it at our executive summit. And unfortunately, COVID had some things to say about that. So we decided that let's go ahead and do a Chicago event. Let's bring Dean out because the content is really fascinating. It's really great stuff. And we're hoping to continue to dig into this type of content so that we can support not just our members, but really our industry partners as best we can.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one thing to say that information is out there, but it's really like, it's overwhelming for the average person to say, well, I know it's out there, but how do I access it? How do I understand it? How do I distill it, analyze it? Right. And Dean, that's exactly what you've done and you do it at Feedback is what Nathan said earlier. You take mountains and turn them into molehills, right? It's easier that's for right. us to understand. So I think that's really valuable. And for people in the eye care industry to know that they can come to the Vision Council for that, for that, those resources, I think is really powerful.
Absolutely.
So Dean, you've written a book. Yes, I think I always find that like the one of the most impressive things to me is like when I meet a published author, because I hear that like writing a book is like one of the hardest things that anyone can do. You either confirm or deny that, but you've written a book. Don't you forget about Generation X. That's so right. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book and what the optical industry can glean or learn from the insights in this book.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, I'm Gen X, so I'm living proof of Gen X's, you know, trials and tribulations. But look, there's lots of books written about millennials. There's lots of books written about boomers. But ironically, that gap there, not talking about Gen X, is deadly for healthcare. I mean, think about what Gen X represents right now and where we are in our lives. We're taking care of kids. We've got aging parents and our bodies are falling apart. So, you know, we're the hat trick in healthcare right now. And that's exactly why I wrote the book. My co-author is in Providence Healthcare up in the Northwest. And, you know, the vision industry, exactly to Nathan's point earlier, I mean, if something has changed in behavior in terms of people's comfort or trust or expectation, like the vision industry needs to know about that, right? If it's changed in all of healthcare. And that's similar, I think, in terms of generations. There's stuff we can glean from these incredibly important folks right now that are, you know, millennials will be there soon. Their body's going to start falling apart any minute now. They just turned 40 in the last year or two.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah.
I turned 40 this October coming up.
There you go.
So I am living proof of what you're talking about.
That's right. Get ready because buckle up. But that's just it though, too. I think that's, you know, the vision industry has a lot that they can, we like to segment by generations, but it really is about life stage. And so I think like right now, that's why it's super important to kind of laser focus. That's why we wrote that book.
Yeah. You know what? I did a talk recently where I was breaking down the generations in terms of talking about sales. And I was like, why? We always talk about millennials and we talk about boomers, just like you said. And I forgot, this is such a massive chunk of the population. Yeah. And like, you know, usually we're talking people who are in their highest income earning years and, you know, right, all these other things, right? Why are we not talking more about them? I think that's so powerful. So, I mean, are there a few like quick insights that you'd want to share from that with us here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the number one thing, actually, you already hinted at a bit there, you know, is the fact that Generation X are also some of the biggest spenders right now. Now, ironically, we're also in the most debt. So, but we're willing to spend. We're big consumers in that. You know, and similarly, we're also in a lot of decision-making situations in terms of being managers and whatnot. And so I think that understanding Gen X will help you understand your employees better. It'll help you understand management better, but also help you understand your consumers a lot better. And I think, you know, as we think about getting to know them, and we talk about a lot about this with the Vision Council, you know, there's the vision industry is a broad one, right? I mean, you've got stuff that's very specifically, you know, geared towards older generations. Well, now that Gen X is making those decisions, understanding where they're at in their comfort level with going to the doc and taking their parents to the doc, that's going to tell you a lot about what they're going to be like as aging consumers too. And it's just a real important time to be able to get to know the vision industry in a much more intimate way that's going to serve them better as they age too. But I think that knowing what they're like as caregivers, I think this is an interesting time right now to figure that out.
I want to expand on that a little bit more. I never even thought about that. Harbir, I'm pretty sure you have patients that come in, they bring their parents, but I never thought maybe I should start, you know, understanding more of how they're asking these questions and what questions they're asking so I can prepare my practice for the future so that I'm not lost in the sauce or behind. I know what to look for when the future comes, because we do always spend a lot of time thinking about millennials, but this is, you know, a group of individuals that we have to help and assess. And if we can get ahead of the curve by making our practice accommodate their needs and wants, then we're going to win, right? But most importantly, the patient is going to win. So we really need to start analyzing these conversations in our exam rooms. What are they asking? How are they moving through the exam room? What are they doing about insurance? How do they consume their information? How do they want to communicate whenever they leave the office, before they get to the office? Because that's going to be things that's going to make that patient experience next level and also just help to grow the practice completely as well.
Well, and Gen X is tough to trust. Like, you know, they like transparency. They want you to shoot straight with them. They want proof, right? They you know, like, I know your website's going to say nice things about you. I want to know what other people say about you. Yeah. But They are intensely loyal once you've impressed them. And here's the thing. They're bringing their parents in now. You impress them now. You'll have them for life. You'll have them for their kids. You'll have them for them. I mean, it's a, you know, they're and the millennials learn from the Gen Xers. You know, they learned it from watching you, just like the old commercial. Yeah. But, you know, so I think the good news is what you learn now is going to help you even with the generations downstream, too.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to have to pick that book up, man. Where can I get that book at?
You can get on Amazon. You can Google my goofy name or just look up Don't You Forget About Gen X. And also, if you're into 80s music, there's a playlist by the same name on Spotify and on Apple Music. So
did you create
our audience? We know our audience.
That's good. That's good. Well, so
you know your audience, shouldn't it be on like MySpace or something?
Yeah, that's right. You can find it on AOL. That's
right. Give me your screen name and your instant.
Oh man, taking me back. Taking me way back.
I remember MySpace. My name on MySpace was Pretty D. That was when I was young, ripping and running, having a good time, man. It was before this young man came into the picture,
little
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Before I started dating his mama, and then we had some babies. But now, Dr. Darryl Glover. So we had to change that a little bit.
That's right.
Is that Sonic the Hedgehog? Is that who just rolled in there?
That is who rolled in.
Yeah, and,
you know,
right.
Let me tell you, I've been using Sonic to my advantage. When this young man is moving too slow, I say, you need to put your Sonic feet on. So then we can speed up time.
There you go. Right?
I like that. That's awesome. Good. That's good. So, so Nate, I want to know about the Vision Council's new research program that was just announced. I'm like, you know, all the things that Dean's talking about and all the things that I read about this research program, I'm kind of nerdy about all this data and all this kind of stuff. So I want to learn more. And I know there's other people out there like that too. So tell us more about this. What's different about this program? What's valuable about it? You know, why should people be looking into it?
Yeah. I mean, this is incredibly exciting because it's been over a year and a half in the making. So at the beginning of May, we announced the new Insights Research Program. The name is maybe not the most creative, but as we looked at a couple different things of what to call it, we said, you know what? We know we need to strive to provide insights. That's been one of the pieces of feedback that we've received is it's one thing to give me data. It's one thing to give me a chart. Can you help us understand what this research means, what it's telling us? And so that's one of the things that we are going to strive to do as we pull together an entirely new portfolio of reports. They're all created from new data collection practices. We've updated all of our methodologies and really trying to keep that laser focus on how can we bring better and more relevant insights to our members and to our industry partners. It was an evaluation of what we had been doing. The previous Vision Watch program had been in place for almost 20 years, pushing two decades. And it had changed. It had grown along the time. But it was time for us to make that decision of, well, do we just update this? Do we just renovate? Or do we tear down and build new? And with all the advancements in technology, when it comes to market research and to data analytics and predictive analytics, we just realized that it was time to start fresh, taking the learnings that we had and building an entirely new program. So we overhauled our technology, we put in a modern analytics platform, and we've really thought strategically, both short-term and long-term, about the way the program can be built and the way the program can support our members. We know that market research is continually rated as one of the top Vision Council member benefits every year. And so knowing how important that information is, it's critical, right, to our members' businesses. They're making business decisions based on that. So we spent the last year and a half really expanding our team, investing in technology, and developing this entirely new portfolio of research products.
Yeah, again, that's amazing that the Vision Council took the time, invested in that to revamp it or entirely build it up again using all the new technology that's available. And I can imagine how valuable that information is. And now, is that something that's going to be part of the event in Chicago? And how are you going to be, or how is that going to be presented exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So my colleague, Elise Henkel, she's the Vision Council's Director of Research, Data, and Analytics. She's going to be providing an in-depth overview of the program. So really giving behind the scenes look at what makes up the Insights program. You know, we just sort of rattled off a name, but it's really made up of five categories of reports that are all distinctly different, but yet integrated together to be able to provide really the best and most robust market data that we can. So Elise is going to be providing a first look at one of those types of reports. It's what we call our focused insights reports. Those are basically in-depth special interest reports on different topics. The first report that we will be introducing at Chicago will be really looking at consumer decision-making process as it relates to eye exams and vision care products and services. So we'll go into more detail on that topic. So if you're looking for more information on the Insights program, that topic in general, both what Elise is going to be presenting in terms of our very focused consumer decision-making process as it relates to vision care, and Dean will be presenting his consumer potential of pipeline of potential presentation there, where we're really digging into that research that was done in January. It's going to be a great event for anybody who wants to nerd out a little bit on research as it relates to the vision care industry.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask you to drop a few nuggets right now, but I guess that would probably ruin it for the people who are. If you're a nerd like me and you want the data, just attend in Chicago and you'll get all of it. You'll get your fill.
And if you're a nerd, we use this almost like it's derogatory, but it's sort of a badge of honor, right? If you're interested in it, we want to hear about it, right? I think that's one of the most important things is that, you know, we are a trade association representing members across the industry. And we can only represent your needs and your businesses if we know what you need. Sometimes we hear very loudly and clearly and we can't do it. And other times we just don't hear it. So we don't even know to do it. So this is one of those great opportunities where we've got a brand new program. It's got a lot of moving parts and pieces, but the more feedback we get, the more input that we get from our members, the better it will be as we try to tweak and continue to refine that program and make it even better.
Hey, Nathan, quick question for you, man. I know when it comes to eye care, we're the gold standard, right? Here in North America. This information is data. Is it based here in the States, Canada, or is it, you know, global data? Where are you tracking this information from?
So our focus right now is on the US market. We previously had a Canadian report that we're going to be probably bringing back probably in 2023, if not a little sooner. I was up in Nova Scotia last weekend for the Opticians Association of Canada meeting up there. And got a little pressure. Some folks saying, "Hey, we would like some of that research too." Yeah. So I think we're going to try to do what we can to get some of that Canadian program going this year. But we know it's important. These are two markets that they're similar and they're related in many ways, but yet they are distinct in other ways. So we want to be able to serve the Canadian members as best we can. So look for that toward the end of this year, if not early next year.
I appreciate that. I will be watching for that for sure.
Hey, we'll be asking you questions too to make sure we do it right.
I'm so in. Count me in.
If somebody says, "Hey, what are you doing?" We're going to say, "Go talk to Harbir," right?
Whatever you need, man. I'm there. I want to make sure that our profession and our industry grows, and these insights are going to be huge for that, right? We don't want to get left behind, like Daryl said.
Yeah. Hey, Dean. Question for you as well. You know, with you doing all this social listening and the master of this, you know, when it comes to eye care, are you hearing common themes around the world, or these markets, are they completely different in regards to some of the data that you're seeing out there?
That's a great question. So this particular study that we did was definitely focused in, I'll say, North America. It's primarily US, but it's funny, of course, with what we do, it's harder to, you know, people don't pay attention to borders when they go on Instagram or, you know, they go onto to Reddit or whatever. So it does end up with definitely some Canadian thoughts there. I think there's definitely some similarities. I think actually this is to keep building on Nate's point earlier. It's interesting because it reflects, I think, where a lot of people are with healthcare in their country. So I think that even though, you know, the vision industry being so separate, you know, how that might play out in the UK, you know, versus how it might play out in America very much has to do with, for example, are they interested in and or exposed to things like everything from telehealth to, you know, to how they make purchases, you know, how different it is there. And it absolutely can change. Sometimes it's surprising when it doesn't, And the other element I would just say from a healthcare perspective, it's always interesting because some things are okayed in one country before they're okayed here, like different kinds of surgery. And so you might get, you know, we've seen stuff in healthcare where folks in the Midwest are talking to people in England about what a procedure is like because it was approved there before it was approved in America. So more people have gone through it there. So it's, you know, people don't pay attention to those boundaries, right? I mean, they're just looking for people that are in the same position, the same situation. They're looking for that advice. But people do tend to group by regions, you know, naturally from the start. It's just when they get into the, some of those really hard to answer questions that they'll start painting outside the lines.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that. And when you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, online has no borders. You're right. I mean, it's one of those things where regardless of where you're at, you have a finger, a cell phone, a computer, you have access to the world. So you can really listen and see what's going on. And when I think about eye care and eyewear in particular, you know, we in the States, we always tend to be last when it comes to fashionable eyewear. We tend to see it, you know, in Europe first, places like that.
Right.
But just thinking about, you know, what should I bring into my practice? Maybe do a little social listening and see what's going on that side of the world. And that might get you ahead of the game. And when you think about inventory, you know, you may not waste money on eyewear because you already know what's really selling and what's going and what's hot and what's truly a trend versus what's really going to move units in your practice as well. So this is some deep stuff, man. It gets real deep. And I know it's information that can really help to elevate your practice day in and day out. I'm loving this conversation here. I don't know about you, my friend.
You know it, man. I told you. And like you said, I'm not using that word nerd as a derogatory term. I'm self-proclaimed and I'm proud of it. I love this stuff.
Well, so, we call it in eye care, we call it opto nerds, and we love
opto nerds, whatever it is. You know, it's a badge of honor. I'll take it, man.
If it means you're passionate about something, fine. You know, if you'd be passionate about it, then not. So
there you go.
So I'll be a nerd about something.
I mean. So I mean, we talk about some of the nerdy stuff that's going on, and obviously the main attraction is, you know, the event that's happening at the Drake Hotel, like you said. Like, what else is happening? What other things can people look forward to there in Chicago that day?
Yeah, so it's Wednesday, June 15th. Mark your calendar. Don't miss that date. So we will kick off the event with a complimentary lunch at noon. Honestly, you know how these events are. That's sort of a great way to break the ice, right? To connect with the other attendees, just, you know, reconnect with the folks maybe that you know, or meet people that you don't. You know, people talk about the desire to create authentic relationships, but sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. And something about breaking bread, you know, having a little bit of wine, like it just brings people together. And so we'll do that to start. And then we'll jump into the afternoon session. And really, it's going to be pretty rapid fire. We've condensed a lot in into a short period of time. Ashley Mills, the Vision Council's CEO, she'll provide a welcome address. And then Elise will pick up with the insights research presentation. So really, again, sort of kicking off that with a focus of research. Then it's going to continue on. Next up will be a diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're calling it a fireside chat, but that feels wrong to me for June. I mean, I feel like it should be like a cabana or chat, or like, you know, out by the pool chat, but whatever. The summer equivalent of a fireside chat. And that's going to have Dr. Tony Byers. He is from Cornell University. He's their diversity and inclusion professional programs director and senior extension faculty. So I had to read that because there's no way I would have got that right.
Yeah.
So Tony Byers is gonna have a discussion with Howard Purcell. We all know Howard, right? So president and CEO of New England College of Optometry. They're really gonna focus on that topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion. 2 years ago, we did a pretty expansive DEI survey across the industry. And found a lot of areas of opportunity and really have leaned into it. The Vision Council has a partnership with Cornell University. And so this is another opportunity where we can pull Dr. Byers in here to give us a little bit of that with Howard's unique perspective as well. And then following that cabana chat, we'll have Dean's presentation focused on the consumer pipeline of potential. And then we'll sort of close the content session with an update from the Vision Council's government and regulatory affairs team. So, you know, the event's not done until you have your networking reception, right? So there'll be cocktails, there'll be an opportunity to reconnect with those folks that maybe you saw earlier in the day, but discuss some of the things that were presented and maybe ask those questions of the presenters, engage with the speakers in a way that's a little bit more intimate than might happen in some of the larger settings. So we're really excited about it. The Drake Hotel is a great property. It's a fun spot. And we're excited to bring all this great content.
And the $1 million question is, how do you sign up? How do you register? Where do folks go to be able to join this amazing event?
Well, if you're reading the bottom of the screen, you'll know. you can register at thevisioncouncil.org. There's a link right there on the homepage that says the Chicago Regional Connection Series. You can register there. The exciting news is this is 100% free for members. So if you're a member of the Vision Council, there is no cost. You just have to get there, right? You know, so planes, trains, automobiles, whatever your form of transportation is, get to Chicago and the event's free. Again, a great opportunity to connect with other members. We do have pricing for non-members. So if you're not a Vision Council member, it is $299. So a good reason to become a member of the Vision Council is to get access to this kind of discounted pricing. So registration closes this Friday, May 27th. So it's coming up here pretty soon. So head on over to thevisioncouncil.org, get that trigger finger ready and register for that event.
Put your Sonic shoes on.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, hey, fellas, this has been an exciting show. A lot of great content. I mean, the main thing for everyone out there listening, you have to realize that you have to understand the power of social listening. It can really elevate and take your practice to the next level. When you understand and collect data and know what your patients and your consumers are thinking, it's going to help to drive content for your practice, but also drive your practice in the right direction in regards to what your patients need. So listen to the data, look at the data, listen to what they're saying, understand the mood of your patients and elevate that patient care, please, because eye care, in my personal opinion, is the best profession in healthcare. It's the best profession in the world. And the only way we can continue doing this is if we actually are listening to what our patients are saying. So make sure you show up. It's going to be in Chicago. And we got some rock stars on here going on tour. And our first stop is in Chicago. So we look forward to seeing you there. Until next time, stay healthy, positive, and blessed. And we'll see you in Chicago. Have a great one.
Peace. All right, colleagues. And it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.